Shavuot Tov, everybody. Nice to see everybody as we complete the part five of our five-part series, what the prophets and the psalmists had to have their understanding of the Torah's exegetes. And next week, Rabbi Liebtag will begin a two-part series on Pesach, I think, beginning how Tehillim understands or re-understands, you know, Magid, but that'll be next week. And Rabbi Liebtag, Vakasha, Achron Chavi, part five of five.
Vakasha. Well, thank you. Up until now, the first three or four, were Nevi'im. We saw Nevi'im as exegetes, as how they understood Chumash. We saw Yishayel and we saw Yirmiyahu and Zechariah. That's it. We saw two Sirim on Yishayel, one on Zechariah for Purim, and one on Yirmiyahu for Parshat Tzav, and Sefer Vayikra. Today, I'm going to go back to Sefer Bereshit, but begin our study of Tehillim, to see Tehillim as a commentary on Sefer Bereshit. And we're going to do something 2 weeks in a row. Both this week and next week will be Tidim Kufay, because it retires 2 weeks. But today will be Tidim Kufay as a commentary on Sefer Bereshit. Next week, we'll see Tidim Kufay as the first Haggadah. So, because that has to do with the pre-Pesach program. Now, you can understand next week's share without this week's share, but you'll appreciate next week's share a lot more after having this week's share. So we're not going to do the Haggadah side of it today. We're going to do the Barshanut side of it, how it understands Sefer Bereshit. No, the state source sheet is different. The state source sheet for next week, I'll give you a source sheet that has everything from this week organized. But it's important this week, simply, I want to go through a study process, because there's a danger in source sheets that right away, you know, you see the answers, everything. What I want to do today, I want the class to happen in your head. I'm going to share with you how to study a Perek in Tehillim. Now, we have a minhag, we zog Tehillim, or we say Tehillim, or we read Tehillim, and rarely do we ever understand it. Most will understand a pasuk or translate a pasuk, but rarely do we study a perek, what's going on in the perek, unless you're in college and you have to do it for some kind of paper. But I want to show you, though, certain prekim and Tehillim are simply amazing compositions, and to understand the composition and the point, you have to study them as a unit. So I'm going to give you a class today, how to study Tehillim Kufay, how to study a long perek in Tehillim. The overall approach is, I call it, what's the header, what's the structure, what's the topic, what's the point? I'll say it better. The first thing we have to do is identify what's the header, what's the opening point, or the opening header of the Mizmor. Sometimes it's one line, sometimes it's 5 lines, 10 lines. What's the structure of the Mizmor, which will be our main topic today. And finally, what's the point? It's when I compare the header to the structure, what point is the Mizmor trying to make other than tell you that God's great or something like that? So we're going to take Tehillim Kufay, which should look very familiar to people. It better look familiar. If not, it means you don't go to shul for Pesukei Dezimra. But I'm assuming at least sometime in your life you saw these prakim. Let me just check the chat before we start. Okay, here are the sources. Okay, again, the sources, I'd rather you have in a... And you'll see why there's no regular source sheet this week very soon. Okay. Here I took from, this is a formatted sheet. This is Tehillim Kufay and Tehillim Kufav next to each other. Got it? We're going to reformat this later on. This I call a data dump. Data dump. This is pasuk after pasuk. It's just, I like doing it one line at a time because then you can see the line. We're not going to read it from here. Don't worry. I'll do an English Hebrew one. But this is Tehillim Kufay and Kufav. When I show you, they're both very, very long. We're going to do focus on Kufay, but we need Kufav to understand Kufay later on. But today our goal is to understand Tehillim Kufay, which is 45 psukim. Super, super long. Agreed? I want to show you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think. But you'll decide about the shadows of the doubt. That this perek is amazing commentary on Sefer Bereshit, maybe even and Sefer Shemot. And there's no doubt I can understand that the author of this Mizmor, the psalmist, had a very basic understanding of some key themes in Sefer Bereshit. So now let's get to work. I want to find the header, and I'm going to now stop this share and read in a regular English Hebrew Tanakh to make it nice and easy to follow. So we're going to open up Tehillim Kufay. If you have your own Tanakh at home, even better. Psalm 105, Hebrew English. Okay. Now, tell me, does this opening line look familiar? I'll make it nice and big. Hodu Lashem Kiru Bishmo Diva Mimali Lotav. How come it looks so familiar? Rabbi Jay, you're teaching. Are you up to here yet? In
No, we're almost at Rav Yishmael. We're in the middle of Ezer Makoma, 26 weeks.
And then you have to kind of shrub on him.
And we do Nusach Ashkenaz, so we got to do Mizmor Shir and Baruch Shamar first. Okay.
So, got that. But and then the next time, Shurlo Zamrlo, it's hard to say this slowly, isn't it? Because we're so used, because you always come to Pesukim Zimmer late, but when I get start and you start catching up. But everyone knows these Pesukim. Now, let's take a step back, and I'm going to ask you a question. The first line, okay, is that, and think for a minute, don't answer so fast. Is the first line a command or a statement? Look at it carefully. Hodu Lashem kiru bishmo odil bamim alilotav. We'll take a quick vote. Just a couple of people, anyone who wants to answer, feel free to answer. Commander statement.
Who is a command?
A command.
Command.
Okay.
Command.
It's imperative that everyone understands that. If you got my joke.
Okay. Yeah.
It's imperative to understand this is a command. Now, how about the next line? Shiru lo, zamru lo, sicha b'choni tlotav.
Same thing.
Command. Now, from my life experience, whenever there's a command, there's someone giving the command and someone receiving the command. Correct? Now, who's giving the command?
The psalmist.
The psalmist. This is not a deraisa, is it? Is there Evyono Tariag Mitzvot? It's not one of the seven Noachide laws, is it? Is there a Tariag Mitzvah law that we have to praise God and sing his praises? I don't think, does anyone count it? Does the Bahag or the Smog or all that? No. Right, Jay? I don't think anyone counts it.
There are shitot that Halel on Yontif, I believe, is the right. That's a machloket. But okay. For another time, by Hanukkah even, there's a whole machloket there.
Is this say only on Hanukkah?
Yeah, so I'm not holding there. I gotta look into it. But okay. I understand your point, of course.
But in general, no one sees this as a Chiyuv D'oraisa.
Correct.
Because if it was a Chiyuv D'oraisa, then for sure we wouldn't. No, it's definitely not, you know, it's not a little minhag or something like that we have to follow. No. The flip side is, who's commanding? But who's being commanded? So I want you to read on your own. This is real easy. See how many lines are command lines and see if you can identify who's being commanded. And just raise your hand. I want to look at the things a little bit. If you have an answer, raise your hand. How many lines are command lines? And in what line do we find out who's being commanded? I only give you one hint. It's like real easy. Okay, everyone read. Just take 30 seconds to read. I'll drink a little coffee. I want you to identify who's being commanded.
Pasuk Vav.
Pasuk Vav.
Everyone, it's so simple, right? Pasuk Vav. Who's being commanded? Zera Avram Avdo B'nei Chol B'chirov. Now, is there a theme from Sefer Bereshit there? Zera Avraham Avdo.
Sure.
That's remember, God promised the Zarcha Tedet Haaretz, and the offspring of Avram Avinu, his servant, whose servant? God's servant, Avram had. And Bnei Yaakov Bechirav, the children of Yaakov who were chosen by God. Right? Avram being chosen for a purpose, and his offspring from his offspring chosen, and the final chosen is going to the sons of Yaakov. Isn't that a mega theme in Sefer Bereshit? And what are these opening lines saying? That the offspring of Avram Avinu, which is Am Yisrael, isn't it? What are we commanded to do? What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to praise God, recognize him, thank him, talk about how great he is, look for him, remember all the great things he does. Correct? All these things? Now, do we ever fulfill that? At the Seder we do, don't we? Don't we sing God's praises at the Seder? But according to the psalmist, the Jewish people are obligated to praise God. Now, did Avram ever do something like this?
He was always going around the crow b'shem Hashem.
That's right. So we're going to do that in a minute. This idea of calling out in God's name is replete in the life of Avram Avinu, and we'll see also with Yitzhak. In fact, other than getting in trouble and being sent around, if I'm asking, what does Avram do when nothing else is going on? That's all he does. And we're going to go through the life of Avram and highlight that. Got that? So I'm going to take a quick break. Also, I'm going to show you, it's my key point. that these opening six tzukim, right, is commentary on Sefer Breshit, isn't it? Because what's it saying? If that's what Avram did, that's what we need to do. What Rambam would call Maseh Avot Siman Labanim. Maseh Avot Siman Labanim. I'll translate. How do you translate that? Maseh Avot Siman Labanim. What happened to our forefathers is assigned to their children, isn't predetermining Jewish history. It's foreshadowing history and giving us what our goal, it's explaining to us what our goal, what can be, what should be, or what sometimes what couldn't be. But what will happen if we follow, we can be Avram Avinus, or we can have situations like Yaakov. We can be in exile. We can be in recovery. We can be in different modes. We can be in Avram Avinu mode. We can be in Yitzhak mode. We can be in Yaakov mode. But what mode we're going to be in depends on our behavior. Now, so I want to show you how this idea of calling out in God's name is central in the life of Avraham Avinu. And we'll just take a little tour of Tanakh real fast. Where are we? We want to do a new share. And we're going to open up Sefer Breshit. If you want, you can follow with the regular Chumash. You guys prefer the English-Hebrew one. So we'll take a nice English Chumash. And we'll keep Tehillim open. And we'll open up a different Chumash. We'll go to Sefer Breshit. And by the way, was Avram the first one to call it in God's name?
Oh. Wasn't Kohen Elion Melchizedek?
We'll examine that in a minute.
Oh, Hanoch or
okay. Yeah, well, how is Sefer Dvarim? Yeah. We need Sefer Breshit. That's what we're studying. At the end of chapter four is the story of Cain and Hevel, right? Everyone would agree. But chapter 4 is actually the story of Cain and Hevel, or Cain killing Hevel and his punishment. But isn't it? Adam, Yadat, Chava, Ishto, two kids, and everyone knows the story. Agreed? Now, look what happens. I want to show you what should be the last line of the story. When the story's over, Hevel has no descendants because he died before having children. Cain has some six generations. Remember? And the last one, sure enough, is Lamech. Lamech has lots of kids, or three kids. Not very original in their names. Yaval, Yuval, Tuval. And then what happens? Lamech kills somebody. The whole story which you're familiar with. Pasach Hafei should be the last line. Why? V'yeda Adam od et ishto. Look how the story began. I want you to appreciate Chumash. How does the story begin? V'adam yadat chava ishto. Got it? The first two kids. First two kids, a disaster. How's the marriage end? Ve'ida adam od et ishto. V'teled ben v'tikut shmo sheit. Why? Ki shat li Elohim zeracher tachet hevel asher gor kain. Wouldn't that be the perfect last line of the parak? If the parak ended there, no one would say we're missing something. Perfect closure. What are we told next? Oh, sheit was born. Uz sheit gam hu yulad ben. He also had a child. Vayikra shmo Enosh. Interesting name for this. His name was mankind. Enosh, okay. Enosh is short for, it's between Ish and Anashim. We use it nowadays in modern Hebrew for mankind, for humankind. Enosh. And then we're told, Azu chal likro b'shem Hashem. What an enigmatic pasuk, right? Azu chal likro b'shem Hashem. What's that mean? Then man began to call on God's name. Is that something good? Somewhere. Or did man begin to mechalel, to defile God's name? Is huchal milashon beginning or defiling? Rashi will say debased. In here, the English, it's he called, and man began to call. That's something good. All the classic parshanim say something bad. Rashi says that's when Avodah Zorah began. Rambam brings that in Hilchot Avodah Zorah. Because huchal can mean chilu. Whatever it is, it's a cliffhanger. Because clearly the caught in God's name is something good. But something here went bad. Correct? But that's the first time we have, this is a setup, you follow? When you study Sefer Breshit as a book, a cliffhanger pasuk like that at the end of a chapter, because then we go to genealogies, and the genealogies in the next parak, we go back again to Adam, Chava, Adam, Sheit, Enosh. Right? I didn't need to mention Enosh, because I'm going to mention in chapter 4, I have him in chapter 5. There's something as a cliffhanger in the end of chapter 4 that's setting the stage for a thing that's developing. Now, chapter 5 is all these genealogies. Remember? Azu chal likro b'shem Hashem. And guess what happens at the end of chapter 5? Who's the last genealogy? We have Noah, has three sons. What are their names? Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Well, what does Shem have to do with that theme? Azuchal yikro b'shem Hashem. And one of Noah's sons is called Shem. Why is he called Shem? We find out later on at the end of the flood story, at the end of chapter 9, when Noah gets drunk and he's not so happy with what his kids did, and he curses, you know, Ham in Canaan. But he doesn't exactly bless Shem. What does he say? He blesses God. What does he say? Boyomer Baruch Hashem. If you wanted a little trivia game, the first one to say Baruch Hashem in Tanakh. It's Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. What's that mean? We're blessing God, the God of Shem. Isn't he the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Isn't he the God of everyone? What's it mean? Elohei Shem means the God that Shem talked about. We say in Rosh Hashanah davening, "V'yomar kol asher neshama be'po, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, Hashem, the God that Israel talks about." In my opinion, when we daven Shemone Esrei and say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we're not saying the God who took care of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but rather the God who Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov talked about. You know, when He's your God, does that mean He's the God taking care of you? Or does that mean He's the God that you're representing, that you're in the service of? So when Noach says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, how do people know about God? Someone has to talk about Him. Like, how do people know about Elohim? Well, Maki Tzedek talks about Him. Because if you don't have a coin talking about a God, no one will know about the God. Therefore, Noach wanted his son to be a rabbi, therefore he called him Shem. Because his job was to make a name for God, to the point that Chazal identified him with the first Rosh Yeshiva. Correct? Because otherwise it's a really boring name. Shem doesn't mean just name, it means God's name. And he's naming his son after making a name or reputation for God. So he says, Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. Which means if someone talks about God, that, again, Elohei Avraham is not only the God who took care of Avraham, the God who Avraham talked about. Now, how do Avraham talk about God? Because what's Avraham going to do? I'm sorry, then we have the 70 nations. They mess up big time. What happens? Remember, they gather together. And instead of making a name for God, remember, what do? They build the city in Migdal Rosh HaShemayim, V'nasad Lanu Shem. They make a name for themselves. See the contrast? The theme of Shem and Breshit? And then finally, in chapter 12, God picks Avram Avinu. Let's follow what Avram does. Avram makes Aliyah because God told him to make Aliyah. He follows. Okay. So he makes Aliyah. He arrives in the land of Israel. He comes to land. He goes to Shechem. He continues traveling. And the end of his first wave of travel, remember, he comes from Mesopotamia, arrives at first.
And Hashem says, Va'agadla Shmecha.
Yeah, Ve'atek Misham Ehara, Mikedem Le'Betel Be'et Olo, Be'etel Be'am Ha'ay Mikedem, Va'even Shem Mizbeach La'Shem, Va'ikra B'Shem Hashem. See in Pasachet, in the beginning of Lech Lecha? The highlight of his travel, he comes to Be'etel, nice name for a city to make a name for God, Be'etel. Later Yaakov is going to want to build a temple to make a name for God. Remember, what's the temple called? Amokom Ashivchar Hashem, the Shaken Shmo Sham, a place for God's name and reputation to be known. And therefore, what does Avram do? He calls out in God's name. So it's a Machloket Parshanim, but Ramban beautifully explains, he's not only praying to God, he's making a name for God. Explaining this concept of God to other people. And from there, he continues his travel. But the highlight, the religious highlight of his Aliyah is in Beit El, making a name for God. He continues traveling. There's a famine, like happens often in Israel, and he has to go down to Egypt. We know the story. What happened in Egypt stayed in Egypt. I'm sorry, what happened in Egypt? We left Egypt, got it? In chapter 13, he returns from Egypt. I'm just following the story of Avram Avinu. Avram comes back from Egypt together with his wife and Lot, very wealthy. Where does he travel to? He returns to where? He returns from the south. He goes back to Beit El, to the place he built his tent in the beginning, between Beit El and Ai. El Mokom HaMizbeach Asher Asa Sham Brishona, Vayikra Sham Avram B'Shem Hashem. See the Sham Plagim? Sham Shem? Migdal Bavel, he had the same thing. But what does Avram do again upon his return from Egypt? Again, he returns and calls out in God's name. But I'm pointing out, in the life of Avram Avinu, when nothing's going wrong, what's his default stage? He's making a name for God. Now, Then Lot leaves, remember? And Lot leaves, and then we have the War of the Four Kings and Five Kings, and then we have Brit Ben Abtarim, where God promises that it's going to take a long historical process to become your nation, then the birth of Ishmael when he's unchosen, Brit Milah, everything. Then we have all the trials and tribulations of Avraham Avinu, all this sort of. But the highlight, before the Akedah, which is the last story, which is a big test, in chapter 21, which I think is something positive, even though some parshim say something negative. It depends on your political orientation. We read this on Rosh Hashanah, I think for a good reason. What did we read here? Vayi Beitahi, at that time when Avram is living, this, we finally get Avram in his day-to-day life for the first time, besides all the stories of the wars and the story of Sodom and everything. And what happens? Avram is making a name for himself. And Avimelech comes and Fichol, like Avimelech thinks his father's a king. He's a king. He's the leader of a big group of people in the land of Israel. He's got an army. Fichol's in charge of the army. They come to Avram and say, Elohim imcha b'chol asher ta'aseh, God's with you. And now swear to me that what he called, we want to make a treaty. And Avram says, okay, we're in on this. And Avram is able to give him guidance and tochacha and warning about theft and things like that. And they make excuses, or they make peace. Okay. What does Avram do? Avram takes Tzon of Akar and gives Avimelech, and they make a brit. Okay. And Avram takes seven lambs. I think that's why we take seven lambs on all the holidays to remember the story. Remember, always the Korah Musaf is always seven lambs. And what's the meaning of these lambs? He says it's a symbol of our brit between God, Avram and Avimelech, Avram being a role model for Avimelech to learn from. Okay. So they make a brit in Beersheba. Avimelech goes back to his land. And what's Avram do in Beersheba? What does Avram do? He calls out in God's name. That for sure, making a name for God. That's the highlight of his career. I hope my point's clear. Avram does that for a living. Then we have the Akedah, and then Yitzchak, and then everything moves now to Yitzchak and Parshat Todot. So Yitzchak has some trouble, doesn't he? With Esek and Sitna. Remember in Perak Chavav? Perak Chavav in Breshit. Yitzchak has his troubles. You can't make a name for God when people hate you, as we well know. Avram's able to do it because he's respected, especially after everyone looks up to him. You can't make a name for God if people don't respect you. When Avram's respected, when Yitzchak's not respected, he can't do anything. So we have Esek and Sitna. He finally gets to Rehovot. Remember the story? And they have peace. Okay. And then now that we have peace, what does he do? He's established himself. He gets along with his neighbors. Yitzchak can now follow in the footsteps of his father. What did Avram do in Beersheba? He made a name for God. God appeared to Yitzchak in Beersheba and says, I'm the God of Abraham. Don't worry, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. You're chosen. What does Yitzchak do now in return that he's chosen for sure and he's making a name for God? And then we have another bear, and things go good. But what's Yitzchak doing for a living when things settle down? Making a name for God. Got it? What would Yaakov love to do? He'd like to be just like his forefathers, wouldn't he? But why can't he? Because he's a fugitive, remember? When he gets to Beit El and makes the neder, he says, right now, I'm a fugitive. I can't make a name for God. But when I come back, I'm going to outdo my parents and grandfather. I'm going to make a house for God. That's Yaakov's famous neder. Why he doesn't do it? Because when he comes back, he has family problems, which is the topic in Sefer Bereshit. I hope my point is clear. Calling out in God's name is a mega theme in Sefer Bereshit. What is the Tehillim saying? It's our obligation. Why? Because we're Zera Avraham Avdo Yaakov Ben Yaakov Bechira. That's the share in itself. I want to make sure it's crystal clear. That's my point. Sefer Tehillim is commentary on Sefer Bereshit. And that share I've given many times about the theme of Shem Hashem and calling out in God's name. I want to prove that thematic read is how Tehillim read Sefer Bereshit. Because most people when they read Sefer Bereshit, they don't pay attention to those details of making a name for God. We talk about it when in Kaddish every day. Remember, Yehi Shmei Rabbah? God's name is all through davening. It's one of the biggest themes in davening. But I'm saying it's not a theme only in davening, it's a theme in Chumash. And I can prove from Tehillim that this, the Mizmor and Tehillim understood calling out in God's name is a mega theme developing in Sefer Bereshit. And one of the underlying reasons for the purpose of our chosenness, we make a name for God. We make a name for God by how we talk and by how we act. Okay. So that's point number one. And now we can continue. Let me check the chat real fast if I missed something. Okay. A command and shurat em. Very good. There's a good example. Okay. Let's continue now with our mizmor. Let's go back now and do the boring part. Not boring part. That's not nice. The English Hebrew. Enough, get rid of the chat and too many screens opening up here. Psalm 105. Here we are. Okay. So again, who's commanded to call on God's name? Zerah Mavdo, Bnei Yaakov Bechirav. Who is this God we have to praise? Who Hashem Elokeinu? He's our God, the God who chose us to serve him. Remember? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Avo Bechars Mishpatav, his laws are everywhere. He's the God of all. Remember Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, he's the one and only God. His laws apply to everybody. But he's our boss and we're chosen to serve him. Okay. Let's look at Pasuk Chet now. I have a header, don't I? It's our job as God's people, as the offspring of Avram, to make a name for God. How do we do it? By how we talk and hopefully by how we act. What's Pasuk Chet? A command or a statement? Zachar lo'olam brito, davar tzibel le'laflor. Someone answer? Command or statement?
Statement.
Okay. Okay. And who can translate that? Don't look at English for a minute. Let me do something. I'll do a trick here. I want to move it over so you don't see the English. Can't do that, can I? No, I can't hide the English in this one. Don't look at English. Okay. How would you translate Zachar lo'olam brito?
He remembers.
Wait. Zachar lo'olam brito. Translate the
it's
whole.
It's a command. No. It's God, a command. God remembers his breed.
It's in past. It's a simple past.
Zachar is past tense, isn't it?
In Kal.
Yeah. What's wrong with Pasachet? Tell me what's wrong in grammar with Pasachet.
Zachar le'lambrito, davar tziva le'eleftor.
Let's take both. That's parallelism. Let's take the first phrase. Zachar le'lambrito. What's complicated? What's wrong with the grammar?
You can't be in the past if it's le'olam.
Lolam can't be past tense.
Unless you're God.
Maybe Einstein can pull this one off.
Or God.
Unless you're thinking of it, he used to.
And it's over now. We don't want to think that. That's not, Lolam means God remembered his covenant forever. Isn't that a problem? Yes. Every English translation has to deal with this. Let's see if we do. He hath remembered his covenant forever.
I don't know. I think that maybe it's a matter of it happened in the past, but he still remembers the fact that it's not over. He remembered, and the memory lasts forever.
Mm-hmm. Then it should be hove.
So then it should be zocher.
Well, can I say something? Yes, a brit is an agreement between two sides. So God is one side and Israel is the other side. So exactly as he wants us to remember, he has to remember. Okay. It's a brit.
So,
so
who's remembering here? Is God remembering or we remembering?
So here it's written that he remembers also.
Yeah, but he remembered. It's past tense.
The brit was in the
he
past.
He remembered his covenant forever.
Yes.
I'm not going to answer the question. I'll keep the question in mind because it's key to understand the parent.
Wait.
Frank statement. He remembered past tense, his covenant forever. The problem is. Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
But how would you have said that correctly? He remembered and have the olam correspond to the perfect.
I would say zocher lo'olam brito. I would say he remembers his covenant forever.
Well, maybe.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Zachar is past tense.
But maybe
Lolam
somewhere
is forever.
Else. But maybe we're only stating that somewhere else God stated in the past that he would remember his covenant forever. Maybe there's another place in Tehillim where God stated, I will remember my covenant forever. Or in Chumash.
So in Chumash also. But
so
I'm saying there's something problematic about the way the sentence is being written. If it said Zocher Lolam, would make a lot of sense. If it said Zachar Brito, fine. I'd rather keep it now as a question. No.
Okay.
What breed is it talking about? Give me some. What breed could this possibly be talking about? How many breed are there?
But from Avraham.
No.
Brit Mila. Brit Mila. Make with Avraham Avinu.
Brit Mila.
There's Brit Mila and Brit Ben Aptarim, correct?
Yeah.
And there's also Brit Keshet made with Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question is, which Brit is this talking about? Well, read the next several psukim and you tell me. There's some nice hints here. What Brit is talking about? What Brit does God remember forever?
Brit Ben Aptarim.
Asher Kvartet Avraham.
The Aretz, the children, the Zera, the Aretz.
No, with Yaakov.
That's Brit Bein HaBetarim. Is that?
Okay, let's see if it fits. Okay. Look at it. Asher Kvatet Abraham, Ushvotal Yitzchak, Bebdei Yaakov Lachok Yisrael Bitolam, Lemor Lachat Teners Eretz Kanan Chevonat Katem, and God made it when we were small in number, and strangers in the land. Now, why would this be Brit Bein HaBetarim? Let's take a look.
But this is probably because of Abraham.
Wait, one at a time. Explain, what do you mean by Birkat Avraham?
He gave Avraham a bracha, then transferred it to Yitzchak, and then transferred it to Yaakov.
That's a blessing. This is a brit. I'm looking for a brit.
So that's only Brit Milah that was really done from generation to generation.
And how about Brit Ben Aptarim? So we're gonna check both of them out, okay? Let's take a look at Brit Ben Aptarim.
You've taught us that Brit Mila is an ot. You've taught us that Brit Mila is an ot.
It's an ot. To what Brit?
To Brit Ben Aptarim.
No, Brit Mila is... Mila is an ot.
To pass on the Brit Ben Aptarim.
It's a different Brit. Listen, in Brit Ben Aptarim, what does God promise? First, look at this last line. Bayomahu... Karat Hashem et Avraham Brit Lemor. That's wool. That's the smoking gun, isn't it? Asher Karat et Avraham. There. Netinat Haaretz. What does God say? The Zachar Natat et Haaretz Azot. From Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Prat. And the land of the seven nations, including Canaan. That's two already. What else to say? Ushvoto Yitzchak. Now, what did God say? Remember, God said, I'm going to take you out. And what did God say? God told Avram, I took you out of Or Kasim to give you this land to inherit, to conquer the Rishta. Avram wants to know how, and we have the whole Brit. Now, the Shvuati Yitzchak, for those who don't remember, is a Shvua on Brit Ben Aptarim. What's the proof? Where are we? How did I get lost? Oh, let's open up my Chumash again. Sefer Bereshit. Now we need chapter 22, correct? Chapter 22. Oh my gosh, I'm all mixed up here. Okay, Hebrew, English, Sefer Bereshit. Chapter 22. Look at verse 15, 16 at the end. Where Binishvati Nyum Hashem, Kien Asher Sita the Devar Hazeh. Let's find it. Da-da-dam. Okay, what's Avram say? Malach comes to him again, Pasuk Tetzayim. Remember, Binishvati Nyum Hashem. That's the Shvuot Al Yitzchak, isn't it? Because Yitzchak is at the Akedah. Okay. That's universal there. That's Brit Ben Aptarim, isn't it?
No.
Is new. That's Brit Ben Aptarim, Yerusha. You with me? That's for sure Brit Ben Aptarim as well. This is important. Why? Brit Ben Aptarim is never called a Brit Olam, is it? The word Olam we don't find ever in Brit Ben Aptarim. Where do we find it? Take a wild guess.
Brit Mila.
Brit Mila is a Brit. How do we know Brit Mila is a Brit Olam? Well, just read it.
It says so.
In chapter 17. Remember, Brit Mila is not about circumcision. Brit Mila is about, first of all, Hitalech Lefanai V'Yatamim, how we have to act. Okay. God will make a brit, beini ubein, etc. And then we have the name change. But the brit, in case you forgot, is Bakimoti briti beini ubeinecha, ubein zarcha ludon, the brit olam, do'ot lecha l'aluim, l'zarcha acharecha. The brit olam of brit milah is he's our God, we're his people. Correct? Why did God take us out of Egypt? Do'ot lecha l'aluim. The purpose of brit ben aptarim was to get to brit milah. He's our God, we're his people. Attempt to the Lamb and Afiya Lahim, remember the fourth cup? This phrase, the Brit Milah, is I'm your God, you're my people. Eternal, and it's an eternal Brit, it's the Brit Olam. And to fulfill that as a vehicle, God's going to give us what he called Eretz Canaan, Lachazot Olam, Vayiti Lechem Elohim. And then, and what would be the Ot Brit, the reminder of the Brit, is what? A circumcision. Because what will make it, what enables this Brit to be, what enables this Brit to be eternal? Having children is the key for eternity, isn't it? Because if God makes a Brit with Avram, in order to be eternal, Avram has to have children. And therefore, the reminder that you have to have children to be Jewish, to keep children going, is Brit Milah. It's a good place to put a reminder. Hope you can figure that out. Okay? Okay. And then we have Unratem by Brit Olam, and what's it then? Here. And now this begins the beautiful connection between Brit Milah and Brit Ben Aftarim. Who can tell me where that comes up in the Pesach story? This connection between Brit Milah and Brit Ben Aftarim?
You have to have a Brit Milah to eat the Korban Pesach.
Unheard of. And no other law has that, right? That's Zot Kukat HaPesach, the end of chapter 12. On the way to fulfill Brit Ben Aftarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving Midian on his way through Brit Ben Aftarim, that was the burning bush. And what does he encounter at the hotel?
Chatan Damim, that whole...
That's a Brit Milah story, right? Before Moshe can fulfill Brit Ben Aftarim, he has to do Brit Milah. They're the only two mitzvot aseh, the Irchayev Karev, if you don't fulfill them. Because not fulfilling them, the consequences are cut off because they're both covenantal. So what this mishmor is doing... What makes Brit Ben Aftarim and Brit Olam is the fact that it's connected to Brit Milah. Brit Milah for sure is a Brit Olam. Just like Brit Keshet is a Brit Olam. And just like Brit Sinai will be a Brit Olam. Remember Shabbat? Benu Ben Oti La Olam? That's for Shomru. So, but why would someone think, listen carefully, you tell me, why would somebody think the Brit Ben Aftarim is a one-time Brit? Why would you think Brit Ben Aftarim is a one-time get-out-of-Egypt card?
Because it was between Abraham and Hashem. Between Hashem and Abraham. By itself.
No, say better. I want a reason why it's a one-time Brit.
Because it has a number of years attached to it. It's so right. It sounds like it.
It's a one-time get-out-of-Egypt card, isn't it? He didn't say you're going to be enslaved forever. He says, I'm going to take you out once. I'm going to put you in. I'm going to take you out. And after, within 400 years, I'll take you out. That's his promise. Once God takes us out of Egypt, Brit Ben Aftarim is over. Now, we're still his people. Will God continue to protect us? Remember Onochim Agen Lach? Remember Brit Ben Aftarim? Will God continue to watch our history? At your Seder, we drink to this, don't we? We thank God for fulfilling Brit Ben Aftarim. Remember Baruch Shem Aftachoto? Let me take, I'll show you a quick look in case you forgot. We're talking about something fundamental here, aren't we? I got a little muggy here just for the fun of it. Remember? We thank God for keeping his promise of Brit Ben Aftarim. You know this by heart, right? And the next paragraph, we lift up our cups and we make a toast. That promise of Brit Ben Aftarim, Amdala B'tenu V'lanu. Because now, once in history, we're in trouble. It can happen in every generation, and God's oracle can save us. In fact, our first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, before we ask God for another redemption, we remind God that he's Magen Avraham, which is Brit Ben Aftarim. These ideas are central to davening. Okay? So now we're making progress in our mizmor. I'm just trying to show you over and over again how Tehillim is going to be, you understand this commentary on Sefer Bereshit? That the Jewish people are commanded to make a name for God because that's what Avram did. That Brit Ben Aftarim is also Lo'olam? Do you understand why by Zachar Brito makes sense for Brit Ben Aftarim because it's a one-time thing? Lo'olam? It's already alluding to Brit Milah. But if God, if Hashem Hu Elokim, remember Brit Ben Aftarim is Yud Kevavke, Brit Milah Hashem Elokim, if it's the same God, then, and the same forefathers, that makes Brit Ben Aftarim Brit Olam, as we mentioned in our Seder. Now, so let's go back now and continue our study of the Perek, and we're gonna run out of time soon. Okay, it's a good thing we have next week for this also. Let's go back and continue. I'll end up with some homework. What are we up to? We're up to We need our page on Tehillim. Here we are. So we made this statement that God remembered his brit forever. The one he made with, I'm sorry, smaller. There we go. The one he made with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, clearly brit ben abtarim with the overview, the overlap of brit milah to give us Eretz Canaan. Kevin, the land that God set aside for us. And God made this brit when we were small in number. Okay. What is Pasuk Gimel talking about? Let's take a quick read. They went from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom. God didn't let anyone harm them, oppress them. He yelled at kings about them and said, don't touch my anointed ones and don't mess with my prophets. You say this every day, don't we? Or mumble it every day. What are we talking about here?
The wanderings through the Midbar.
Who went from nation to nation and kingdom to kingdom and God protected
them? Avraham.
That the Jews joined from the Lower East Side to Brooklyn and from Brooklyn to Teaneck and from Teaneck to Chicago and from Brooklyn to the Five Towns and from Five Towns to Israel? Is that, or from Europe, from North Africa to Spain, from Spain to France, from France to Germany, from Germany to Poland? Is that what it's talking about or not? It's a bit unclear, but we'll have to see. Well, the problem is, in davening, we stop here. But the Mizmor continues going, doesn't it? What does it say? Let's take a quick read. What? We'll return to these psukim in a minute. Okay. Look at Tetzayin Dechabet and tell me what is this describing. Just read it on your own real fast. There's a famine in the land, no food to eat. God sent a man to them.
Yosef
sold us to slavery. He was put into jail until his time came. And the king took him out of jail and made him a big shot. There's a whole musical about this.
Mechirat Yosef and the going down to Mitzrayim. No.
Okay. And then what happened? And Israel comes down to Egypt. Israel meaning who?
Yaakov
Yisrael, okay? The Yaakov God of Eretz Ham. Not in a hot land, but the land of Ham, that's Egypt. Ham's son was Mitzrayim. One of his sons was Mitzrayim. Okay? And then Vayefer Atamo Me'od, then we became fruitful and multiplied. And then the Egyptians started to hate us. And they put us into slavery. What story are we telling?
It's Mitzrayim.
We're telling the story of the Exodus. You see why next week we're going to say this is a Haggadah? Now, if this is a story of going down to Egypt, and this is Yosef, then by default, what is Yud Gimel to Tet Vav talking about?
Avraham.
Not just Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Because in their lifetime, they got in big messes, didn't they? Yaakov, Avraham got in a big mess with Pharaoh, didn't he? Who saved them? God. Yitzhak got into a mess with Avimelech. Who saved them? Yaakov got into a mess with Laban. Who saved them? God. Why did God save them? Because of Brit Ben Abtarim. You know what Shebach means? Praise? What are we doing? Listen, we make a statement. Listen to the statement. The statement we're making is what? Zachar Lo'olam Brito. God remembered his covenant forever. Which one? The one he made with our forefathers. We make a statement and then we prove it. Now, read on your own now. I'll make it smaller. Actually, before we read on, you see we have a history lesson here. We begin thing. What is Moshe sends? God sends Moshe Abdo, Aaron Bacharbo, and we start doing plagues to Egypt. Okay? If we're going to begin thanking God for filling Brit Ben Abtarim, let's take off this screen share so I can see you guys for a minute. We made a statement that God remembered his covenant forever. Correct? He remembers his covenant forever. Remember, you'll see why I'm doing that in a minute. Now, after making the statement, I'm going to prove it. How do I prove it? By telling the story of the Exodus. How God watched our forefathers, how Yosef became a big shot, how we went down to Egypt, how we became multiplied numbers, how the Shibud began, and how God took us out of Egypt. Now, I'm sure you never read far. Maybe you did. But don't read ahead yet. Where do you expect the story to end? If we're going to thank God for fulfilling Brit Ben Abtarim, where's the story going to end?
Kibush Haaretz.
Eretz Israel.
That's a Zionist answer. Yeah. Give me a firm answer.
After Yetziat Mitzrayim.
And give me a secular answer.
It's Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Didn't we do the three kippot Seder? Does the Seder end with freedom? Does it end with Har Sinai? Does it end with the land of Israel? If we're in a kibush through God, it's all about the land of Israel. Kippah Shkua is about getting the Torah. It's no kippah, it's about freedom. And their own important values. But this is the story of the Exodus. So if you have a Tanakh open up. I'm going to share the big page also. I want you to scan through and see where the story ends, okay? This would be a lot of fun, I think. I'll share my screen and here, we'll read it together. I'd rather you peek ahead a little bit. I want you to peek ahead and see where the story ends. You know, we have some nice, I'm going to make it smaller, the page. Smaller. But what happens here? My screen share is not working so good. Smaller. Here we go. Smaller. And you can use a magnifying glass. Yeah. We have not all the makot. We have some makot, which ones we're skipping enough for now. Here's makat b'chorot. Okay, makat b'chorot is pasuk lamed vav. And the icing on the cake that this is brit ben of tarim is the kesef zahav, isn't it? See the rechush gadol and lamed zayin. Okay, but now read from here. We have the makot and we have thing. Where does the story end? Look carefully. And raise your hand if you have an answer, or write a chat if you have an answer. Where does the story end?
In Eretz Israel. It ends in Eretz Israel.
Okay, someone's wearing a kippah sruga like me.
that we honor the statues, the mitzvot, observe his laws, wherever
that's the kippah shchora.
No, but
it ends in the midbar.
Okay, now you're ready to appreciate Tehillim. Look what happens. I'll do this with you for those who didn't catch on. Okay. We have the whole story. We make a statement. God fulfilled Brit Ben Abtarim. Tell the history, don't we? The whole thing. What happens? God takes out with Kesef Azal. Egypt's happy. That's Parsha B'Shalach, isn't it? Shalbev Islav, the Lechem Shemaim Yasbiem, Parsha B'Shalach.
Yeah,
man. Patak Sur Vezuvamayim, that's Perak Yud Zayim, Parsha B'Shalach, and Rafidim. Hokubitzot Ben Har. Look at Membet. Kizachar Dvar Kotcho, that Abram Avdo. Vilsiam Mobis is somebody not Bichirav. What's that doing? That's right. Why did God do that? Because God fulfilled. He's Zachar. Who remembers what Zachar means? What's this matching? Remember how we began? Zachar lo ben brito?
That lines up with the Zachar brito at the beginning.
That's right. So what element of brit ben of tarim is a one-time thing? Getting out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. But what remains eternal? The purpose of coming out of Egypt, which is to do what?
And it's Israel.
And what's the purpose of the land of Israel? To do what?
To keep the mitzvot.
Yeah, to keep the mitzvot. That's kippah shruga and kippah shchora. Got it? the purpose of freedom from slavery is to become a nation. God's keeping the purpose of Brit Ben Abtarim is to fulfill Brit Milah, which is Brit Sinai, to be God's people. But for that reason, I need the land of Israel. Now, Baiten Lamarzot Goyim Bamalun Rashu, that's Brit Ben Abtarim, Amalurim Yirash Yerusha. Got it? It's also the land of Canaan and Brit Milah, both promised the land. But what's the purpose? Bavur Yishmeru Chukav, in order to keep his laws. Now next week, this is the Haggadah, isn't it? Why? What pasuk in Shmot is this? What are we supposed to tell our children? Bigat levitcha b'yomo lemor. Bavur zeh, remember the machloket?
Bavur zeh hotziyu.
Asa Hashem li, right? Do we explain to our children why God took us out of Egypt or why they're eating matzah? Remember? Remember Rashi? We explained to our children God took us out of Egypt in order to keep the mitzvot. It's what we say in Avadim Ayinu. We'll do this all next week. This explains our Haggadah. It's a perfect Haggadah, we'll see. You with me? It's a masterpiece, Kufay. It's a beauty. Now, in what way is Brit Ben Abtarim a one-time covenant getting out of Egypt? And what is an eternal covenant? The land of Israel and keeping the Torah. That's eternal. Because of its connection to Brit Milah. So that opening, apparently mistaken grammars, is fundamental. Zachar, la'olam. Almost zachar kama la'olam. Because there's something one time about Brit Ben Abtarim, or at least hopefully, but there's something eternal about it. Mm-hmm. That's why our statement of Behisham Dala B'teinu V'lanu is built on this parak. So this parak is not only commentary on Sefer Breshit, it's a chiddush that what? The Brit Ben Abtarim is what? It's eternal. Because it's a Brit Olam. Therefore, God will continue to watch for this thing. Now, but that was only the topic from Perichet. What was the topic from the beginning? I'm going to share another source sheet with you now. And you won't like me for this, but I had to do it this way. Here's the whole perek. I sent it in the source sheets. Here's the whole perek formatted. Where are we? We want this one. Where's all the formatted stuff? But you can't give this to someone in the beginning because it's not fair. Here we are. Oh, where is it? T105, here we are. Look at this one. I'll make it nice and small. Smaller, smaller, smaller. Here's all Tilim Kufei, but nice and formatted. Put this to the side there a little bit. You see it? Here's the header. Here begins a new section, Zachar Lodom Brito, ending up here, Balvor. You can print it out and study it later on for homework. Now, I'll do a little magic trick here. We need our little... Do you realize what a masterpiece this Mizmor is? As far as composition? Remember, this is the header. It's Am Yisrael's obligation to praise God. Correct? It's our obligation to praise God. That's point number one. Point number two is that God remembered his covenant, Brit Ben Abtarim. And we make this statement and we prove it. Now, it begins with Zachar Lolam Brito, Devdor. Why did God do all these things? Ki Zachar Dvar Kodesho. Okay? But who did he save out? Avram Avdo. Got it? And Bnei Yaakov Bechirav, Rinat Bechirav. You see that? What's the Mizmor doing? It's tying together two themes of Sefer Bereshit. What are they? Avram calling out in God's name is one mega theme. Brit Ben Abtarim is another mega theme, aren't they? There are two central themes in Sefer. There's more, but there's two central themes in Sefer Bereshit. What are they? There's calling out in God's name. And God promising a one-sided covenant, I'm going to watch your history. You know what this Mizmor is telling you? Indeed, Brit Ben Abtarim is eternal. That's a big chiddush. But it's not one-sided, it's two-sided. Because at first glance, Brit Ben Abtarim is one-sided. Who's doing everything? God. We simply have to suffer through it. God's going to put us in Egypt. God will take us out of Egypt. God will redeem us, etc. According to this Mizmor, what do we need to do? If we want God to fulfill Brit Ben Abtarim, what do we need to do?
Call out B'Shem Hashem.
Exactly. Because that's why we're chosen. You see what the Mizmor is doing to Sefer Bereshit? It's beautifully tying together two mega themes which become our sitter. Because don't we turn to God to fulfill Brit Ben Abtarim in Magen Avraham? Mm-hmm. And then in Davening, we're going to ask for Shema Kolenu, we're going to ask for Gula, Kapashabar Galacheruteno, et Samach David, Rushai Mircha. But what do we supposed to understand? That in order to be worthy of God fulfilling Brit Ben Abtarim, God says he can, but will he? That's up to God. He didn't say when it'll happen. The first one was 400 years. The next one is up to us. But if we want to give God a reason to fulfill Brit Ben Abtarim, what do we have to show God? That we want redemption and we know he can help us. So we have to turn to God in prayer for redemption. And when he redeems us, what do we need to do? We need to thank him for it. And if God sees we're ready to thank him for redemption, that's the reason for him to bring redemption. According to some people, that's why we say hello and Yom Ha'atzmaut. If you don't recognize that God's involved in your history, what's the point? Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, but let me ask you this. Where does the not only asking for redemption, but the honoring of his laws, chukim u'mishpatim, his laws, the mitzvot?
Where do we say that, davening, or where do we say it here?
Oh, the idea that is the one breed and the other breed, and the second breed, the forever breed, leolam, is it simply calling out his name and asking for redemption or the laws?
But it's not enough just to keep his laws, but we have to keep his laws because that makes God's name great by keeping laws, but we have to talk about God.
Okay, so both are.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Look in Kufav, if we can only start now. Mm-hmm. Set the stage for next week. In Kufav, what do we have? In Kufav, we have something. Oh, I'm get rid of my, clear the screen and move back to my mouse. The next parak, which is another theme in Breshit, which of course we have to get to every shir. Right? We have another chiyuv to praise God. Hallelujah. Right? Hodu Hashem ki tov kilam chasdo. That's a command to praise God, and it's a good idea. But then we ask the question, who's worthy of praising God? Who's worthy of making notes? We're obligated to sing his praises, but who's worthy of doing that? Only who? Ashrei shomrei mishpat oseh tzedakah b'chol eitz. To be worthy of, you have to do another theme in Breshit. Tidim Kufa is simply a masterpiece of parshanut and sefer Breshit. Oh, like, that's not a theory, that's mamash, it's pshat in the parak. And so I'm trying to show you, if I'm looking for a thematic understanding of Sefer Breshit, I can support it in Tidim Kufa. And it's so important that we quote this in our Siddur. Not exactly this one, we quote a better one, a different different version. We'll do that next week, share of what we do in our Siddur. And therefore, before we ask for redemption every day, what's the first thing we do? We praise God. Therefore, we have Psukei Dezimra before Tfilah. Understand? And how do we begin Psukei Dezimra? With the Mizmor that tells us it's our obligation to praise God. Because how do we fulfill Mizmor Kufei? Every day in Psukei Dezimra. The problem is we don't read Tehillim Kufei. We read something from Divrei Hayamim. That's next week's share. Okay, got it? So let me just summarize. Again, we did a lot here, but you have to review this. Do you understand? There's no source sheet today. I'll give you a different source sheet with everything we just quoted. So easy. I wanted to go through the parak and learn it and not just give you the conclusion. I wanted to go through the process of studying the parak. The parak has a header, has a structure, has a point. Got it? And the structure is, it's when you put them together, it's taking mega themes from Sefer Breshit, of the idea of calling out in God's name, the idea of covenant and the internal covenant, the eternal nature of the covenant, the purpose of the covenant, and showing that indeed God can redeem us and continues to watch our history. But as God watches our history, what do we need to do? We need to see his hand in history and talk accordingly and act accordingly. And it's all intertwined. It's not that God, it's not a one-way covenant. God just, whenever we're in trouble, just call out to him. Yeah. Our covenant's eternal in the sense that God can always redeem us, but we have to be worthy of redemption. That understanding is the key to our national behavior. And that makes prayer transformative. It's not enough just to pray to God for redemption. You have to make ourselves worthy of redemption, which was the same thing we saw in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and Zechariah, right? I think all these themes that all the Nevim talk about and Tehillim talks about, they're all rooted in Sefer Breshit. That's all. But when you read Sefer Breshit, you don't notice it when you don't study it as a book. And that's the goal of this series. I'm trying to show you how what I'm trying to do in Sefer Breshit is what all the Nevim did. You see, and when you study the book thematically, you see all those things. Okay, we'll stop here and I'll take questions real fast. And where are we? Any questions? What do we have to? No questions. Oh, chat real fast. Questions. Okay, thank you. And wait, what's this? Ending with verse. Oh my gosh, I missed a lot of them. What do we do here? Oh, short sheets. But I'm gonna make this bigger real fast. English have to remember. Okay, Shura Tayam. Okay, it's done forever, including. Okay, we'll get that later. English have to remember if I'm not past but current. Okay. Yeah. The English is pretty good. I agree that God have to remember is a good way to solve the problem. Very good. And the header, was it the header something? I missed something here. What am I missing? The header.
The header ends with verse 7. The last three words of verse 7.
Yeah.
Is the ending of the header. What do those three words say? They aim outside. They aim universally. They're not particular.
I agree, 100%. Okay. Then it was the verse 7. Okay, I see. That's it. Okay. Okay, good. So I think we're pretty good here. Anyway, I have to take, I have to leave in a couple minutes. My wife's going back to Israel today, so I get to go to the airport. And we have another week of school visits this week.
How long are you staying in America?
Another week, a couple of days. Oh, she was over pretty much. So now it's time to do I haven't visited schools in 2 years since COVID, so now things are finally.
All right, so say hi to Atarin, though, of course. By the way, just very briefly, because you got to go, the Bahag does hold that Hallel is one of the Tariq Mitzvot, although, and the Ramban says on Yontif. I was looking up a little.
Hallel Mitzvayim or Pesukei Dezimra, or Hallel B'chol Yom of Pesukei Dezimra?
No. Hallel only on Yontif. This Hallel.
I'm saying Pesukei Dezimra Hallel.
Right. So that already the Gemara says is Amidat Chasidut. Uh-huh. You know, that, but the concept that Hallel is the right that does exist in some of the Rishonim and the Chatam Sofer does say it by Hanukkah, sort of the Kal Vachomer, you know, what the Gemara says, Mimita L'chaim, you know, by, that you have to say from life, right? The Gemara and Megillah, then why we don't say it on Purim. But so anyways, that's a total side topic, but, conceptually, that is interesting that there are Rishonim who count the saying of Hallel conceptually as one of the targets. Obviously, the particular verses you say have to be later. Obviously, they were composed much later. But that's not,
the reason why the rabbis don't count it, because it doesn't say anywhere, thou shalt praise God. It just says Avram did it. Got it? But for somebody to be mitzvah to say, I need a pasuk.
Right. So I think it's probably based on the idea. I don't know if it's based on the idea of a Korban Todah, or it's based
on,
you can find places to link. I didn't look it up too carefully, but just when you mentioned, I just spent a few minutes,
thematically, we have to have children, but it doesn't say, it says prove root all mankind, which is a blessing. Cause I'll mess around with the plastic and say it's only talking about Amisro,
but it says that Abraham was chosen. It says viadati. God says, I know that he will have, you know, teach his children.
No, I came to know him so that he would.
But,
God didn't
right.
say I know he will do it. God says, I wish he would do it.
The truth of the matter, Pruver was probably derived from this week's Parsha, based on the Rambam, that we're not allowed to count any mitzvot pre-Matan Torah. That Rambam in Parsha Mishnayos and Chulin by Gid HaNasha has this idea, which I no one has fully answered for me. Where in the world is the prohibition of Gita Nasha appear elsewhere in the Torah? The Rambam makes a big deal about it, that mitzvah can only emanate from Sinai. We can't have any mitzvah before Sinai. All the mitzvah have to be redone.
Is Nasa V'nishma is our chiyuv of Pru Arvu, but now I need a pasuk. So the rabbis midrashically take the pasuk from Noah.
Right, I know. So the Rambam is hard, but based on the Rambam, I think there's supposed to be a source. And I for proof where you can say, Isha Ki Tazriya V'yalda Zachar. Yeah. So
that's the question.
Nash, I have no idea where it would be.
Can something thematically be a mitzvah without a pasuk? Can I count now? Technically, for something to be a chiyuv deraita, I need a pasuk. You follow? But thematically, that's... I can say it's got to be a mitzvah. Now, the best example is the Ramban on Remember What God Did to Miriam. Remember? I would say that's a mitzvah to say not to speak lashon hara.
The truth of the matter is, it's
kedosh. How can it not be?
Yeah, so, it's kedosh. It's Kedoshim to you and Vesita Yesharva Hatov, which are two of the most important psukim in the Chumash, and the Ramban really, you know, how important they are. Yet, none of them are counted as part of the Taryag Mitzvot. They're
because
sort
they're
of
general.
Not a mitzvot. They're more important than the mitzvot in many ways. So there are many more shiurim here to discuss this topic.
Okay.
And okay, thank you. Okay, we'll let you go to the airport tomorrow. Rabbi Kowalski, Avram Kowalski, it's fascinating, always fascinating, tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Serving the feudal lord, and then at 1 o'clock, Zev Elif will making history, making Pesach American. So I think he'll be discussing rabbinic sermons and how they transform part of the elements of the Seder tomorrow. Also fascinating. That's tomorrow, 11 and 1, and then Tuesday, 11 and 1, Rachel Danziger on her continuing series on Shmot, which relates to Pesach. And of course, Alex Israel will have his last class on Eliyahu. And then Wednesday, Ari Mermelstein will continue his second part on the series. And I think the topic is, did the wise son own a Haggadah? So that'll be Wednesday. Then Thursday, Shuli Mishkan, Parsha. Friday, my Parsha on the Seder. We'll get to Hodu eventually, please God. And we'll incorporate, see what have, review, new stuff. And anyways, okay, invite a friend. We look forward to learning with you soon. Everybody have a wonderful week. Shavuot Tov. We should hear good news. And okay, be well, and we look forward to learning with you and your friends. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.